Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I'm going to attempt to recapture what we started the year with, and that is the subject matter of outpouring. God gave it to us. It's a continuation of the word that God gave us for 2 years, which was harvest time, and then in this beginning of this third year of my leadership as senior pastor, the word that God gave us to capture what he's going to do in this next season is outpouring. The outpouring was described in Isaiah 55 when God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth, it shall go out. But when it goes out and it continues to go out, it shall not go out and then return void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I send it, and it shall prosper wheresoever it goes." And the assignment was already in the beginning of this year is to go back and grab hold to what God says, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he does not change. And whatever he established with you from in the beginning is the same word that is still over your life right now. In fact, nothing about your life is happen chance or happenstance. There's nothing that is taking God off guard. I know that you might not like where you're at, but God knew where you would be born. He knew your ethnic mix, your background. He knew how tall you were going to get. He knew that you were never going to be playing in the NBA or the NFL. He knew you wasn't going to make it. I know you didn't know you weren't going to make it. He knew you weren't going to make it. And somehow we have begun to dream these dreams that were not the dreams that God dreamed for us, as if he never had a plan for us. But from the moment that he made the first man, he had a plan for the first man, because he placed him exactly where he wanted to be. And in fact, the Bible tells us in Acts that he gives us the exact place of our inhabitation. And the reason that he gives us this place and gives us our ethnicity and gives us our demographic is so that we will seek him. Yeah. This is the Bible says, "I'm giving you all of this because I want you to seek me." The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 139, he says, "All the days of your life was written in the book before you did one." In Psalm 51, he says, "God instructs you in the womb." In the womb, he begins to speak to you. That's why abortion is a ridiculous concept. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a ridiculous concept, because he says he instructs you in the womb. And, okay, let me show you how even more ridiculous it is. The Bible says before you were in your mother's belly, Jeremiah 1 and 5, before you were in your mama's belly, before you were in your mama's belly, I knew you. And ordained you to be a prophet. There is no chance that God is unaware of where you at and who you are and what you are assigned to do. There is a word over your life, and it's constantly going forth about you. He never ceases to constantly say who you are. Man of God. Woman of God, man of God, woman of God. "Well, no, you know, I don't feel real good about myself, because, you know, I've been doing some sins. You know, I don't look like, you know, I'm supposed to look and stuff. I just feel bad. You know, I ain't the husband I'm supposed to be. I don't manage money well. I'm not a good public speaker. I don't like to be around people, you know, stuff." See, no. Your self-image, people's perception of you, your own personal weaknesses cannot change God's word over you. Ah, my Jesus. If we had time, you could dance, run, and shout in here, but we don't have no time. Don't you get up out your seat. Don't do it. Let that freedom hit you at home. Talk to me. At home. Says, so all of this is going on. So I'm going to help you today by giving you four markers that we're going to hit in Habakkuk chapter, or however you want to say. How you say it, Pastor Brew? Habakkuk? Well, I'm going to say it how I want. Habakkuk. He can say it how he want. I say it. Tomato, tomato. I just asked him some of y'all who want to say it this way. First, okay. There's four things we're going to find. Number one is that you have to get a word. In order to capture an outpouring, you've got to see where he's pouring. Get the word. That means the lines of communication between you and God have got to be open. And the only thing that can close the lines of communication between you and God is sin and iniquity. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, he says, the Lord's arm is not too heavy, he cannot save, nor his ear too dull that he cannot hear. It is your sin that separates you from your God, and it is your iniquity that hides his face from you. In his face is his mouth. The reason that you're not being able to hear his word, and the Bible says in his word is John 6:36 says, the flesh profit is nothing, but he said, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. So the word has in it spirit and life. So when you're not getting the word, you're not getting the things you need to live your life. And that's what he's trying to give you when he's getting the word. So when you can't commune and communicate, when you can't get the word, you can't live. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What is that word? Rhema, specific, individual, and special word that comes from the mouth of God. God has something specific to say to you. He has something individual to say to you. He has something of such quality, of such preciseness to say to you that he doesn't want you to miss it, such accuracy. But something about what the enemy does is he convinces you and I that God is not trying to communicate with you on that level. In fact, that he doesn't communicate with you on that level. But if you're not hearing God on that level, it's not because he's not communicating. It's not because you have an inability to hear, because the Bible said, he that have an ear, let it hear. It's simply because you have sin or iniquity in your life that's stopping your heart from being able to receive. The Bible says the sower sows the word, and his word is the word sown, except the word that goes down in your heart. He said there's several different types of ground to indicate the heart. Stony ground, there's ground by the wayside that can't basically get into your heart. And when it can't get into your heart, the Bible says the enemy comes and steals the word. What is the word that he steals? The word that you don't understand. What is the word that you don't understand? The word that you don't apply. What is the word that you don't apply? The word that didn't get into your heart. What is the word that didn't get into your heart? The word that you didn't confess. Over and over and over again. How do you prove that? The Bible says, he says, so shall my word that goeth forth over and over again. It shall not return void. In other words, God is constantly speaking the same word over your life that he said from the beginning. So what do you do? The Bible says in Proverbs, he says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. You have to act like God. You got to say back to God what he said to you. I believe. I agree with you, God. I'm going to keep on saying the same thing so I can break up the fallow ground of my heart and get the word planted on good soil so it can bring forth a hundredfold return. You don't just say, I'm going to get a word by saying, ooh, I like it. I'm just going to grab it out the air. No, you've got to get it securely planted. You got to get it securely planted by comprehending it. And when you comprehend it, you put it in the safe place, in the ground of your heart, that it might grow. The second thing you gotta do is write it. That's a part of that action step of planting it in your heart, is writing it. My wife don't ever trick me anymore, telling me to go to the grocery store and then telling me what I didn't bring back that she told me. She ain't gonna trick me with that never again. Baby, where's the milk? Where's the... Didn't I tell you? No, you didn't tell me nothing. Because in our house, if it's not written down, you didn't tell me nothing. We don't do this tell me stuff. You better send me a text, send me with some paper, or I'll write it down, or it don't count. I thought I said you was going to pick up the kids. Was it a text? Write it down. Make it plain upon tablets that they didn't read can run. I can't run a play. I can't read. I'm sorry. I'm sweating. She ain't in the service, is she? Baby, if you're in the back, I love you. You know, it don't have to be written. I mean, I want it to be written, but my hands start shaking, y'all. It's going to be all right with me. Mark, you know, you my friend. Help me out, you know, in the back. Renee. Okay. Now, number three is You've got to wait. Yes. Now, once you have gotten the word, and once you have written the word in your heart or planted the word, you've got to wait on the word to grow. Yes. Now, God told me I was a prophet. Don't you try to prophesy. You just got that word. You know what, young lady? You know what I feel right now? I feel red. Upper venue people, she has red on. I feel red. The Lord is saying red. I don't know what else. Red. See, they're not ready. They need to leave that gift right where it is in the spirit. It's underdeveloped. Just need to stay under the ground, let it grow up. Just wait. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint. You got to wait. What do you do while you're waiting? Serve the Lord with gladness. Take the low seat, the humble seat. Then you watch. Watch for what? Watch for your enemy that's coming to sow tares among the wheat. Know he's going to show up. For what? The word. How do you know? Because the number one thing the enemy wants to attack is the word. How do you know that? Because when he showed up in the garden with Eve, when God told her that the tree that she shouldn't eat of was evil, the enemy began to question. He said, have God really said you shouldn't eat that? He wanted to question the word. Jesus comes up out of the baptism. The Spirit descends on them like a dove, and the voice from heaven of the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the Bible says the Spirit takes him into the desert, and the devil says to Jesus, if you be the Son of God, questions the word right away. That's what he does. All right. Now, our problem is, in a message like this, is that we think we want to listen. But in reality, we can know how important the word is, but we have no intention of listening. Pastor James, I'm sitting in church. I want to listen. Well, here's the problem. You can listen, Pastor Bruce, at 125 to 150 words per minute. You can listen. You can listen at 125 to 150 words per minute, but you can think. You can think at 3,000 words per minute. So as God is speaking to you, you can outthink what he's saying. You're great. No, I'm not, Lord. I'm not great. I'm not great. Don't tell me I'm great. I'm nothing. This is going to be the best year of your life. No, it's not. Last year was terrible. Your marriage is going to make it. No, it's not. It's so horrible. He doesn't even have a job. And instead of speaking to your man in faith, Or encouraging someone that or reminding them of the word that God is constantly speaking from heaven. Remember, the outpouring is, so shall my word be that goeth forth. It's constantly going forth. Instead of speaking about that word that's going forth, you're speaking what the devil says. So where are you going to get up? What's going to happen? What's going on? Yeah, he's going to be stuck there listening to the old non-prophetic words. Now, see, there's not like amens on that. Lead these brothers alone. I mean, lift them up. Get in agreement with the frequency of heaven. And watch your house break through. Who told you you had a partnership with the flesh? Who told you you had an obligation to the flesh? Now, the brothers do it too. Here, I did it to my wife. My wife came to me and said, I don't believe that the Lord wants you to go on a mission trip to Mexico. I said, honey, I've already prepared to go to Mexico, so I reject. I reject your word. I reject it. I gave her a little emotion with it. Then Pastor Steve Merle, the president of our global movement, told me, James, I said, I'm normally not a prophet. He said, I don't want to say this is from the Lord, but I have this strong impression. I believe it's from God that you should not go on this trip to Mexico, on the mission trip. I said, on the mission trip to help the little kids? I said, that couldn't be God, Pastor Steve. I'm going to help the kids. You couldn't be hearing from God. The first day of the mission trip. The first day. You were there. You didn't. Hours in, I am a getting people saved machine for Jesus. I mean, people are getting touched. And I went to play soccer with my 8 new converts. And it's on tape. You'll never see it. All you need to see stuff, you'll never get it on YouTube. And I was going to impress them with my skill, and I kicked this soccer ball as hard as I could as I snapped my patella tendon. Went to the Mexican hospital with Pastor Philip. Don't ever go there. I'm just telling you now. I don't know why you took me there. You should have known better. It's wrong. And the only thing I'm going to say is that they didn't help me. I came back here and was out of ministry for several months because I didn't receive the word. Get the word. Get it. If you get it, the Bible says what you got to do is write it. That's number two. The second verse in Habakkuk says, he says, the first verse, oh, no. No, they ain't give you the first verse. He says, write the vision. No. He said, I will steady myself. This is Habakkuk 2:1. I will steady myself upon the rampart, and I will watch to see what the Lord was saying, what would be the answer to the complaint. See, you've got to be like the watchman and get focused in prayer. Focus in communion. Focus in communication. Because the word is so important that you've got to actually get it. If God looked at the void and nothing, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters and then said, let there be light. If his word is so powerful that he can make something out of nothing, then how powerfully important is it to focus and get it? I'm going on my morning jog. May the Lord, me and Jesus. Jesus, how you doing? Hi. Oh, me and Jesus. Talking to your neighbors. Talking to the dog. Hey, that's a barking dog. Now, it's nothing wrong with a little running in Jesus. A little. We got so many activities that we're doing along with our devotion. But I'm going to tell you something. You can do that as long as there's a moment in time that's exclusively devoted to him that you can focus and steady yourself, that you might watch to see what the Lord will say, that you might get that word, because the word is so important that if you don't get it, you can't live, because the Bible says in the word is a light and life. The word is a lamp unto my feet. I'm sorry, I'm yelling. Okay. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a guide unto my path. The Bible says, without faith, the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. He said, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. He said, but faith without works is dead. Faith without action steps is unenergized. It's worthless. So you can get a word, but it won't profit you without steps to go along with that word. So you don't stay long enough to get steps. That's why you need point number two. Write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets. That's the steps. That's the plane. Ananias, go to a street called Straight. You're going to see a man named Saul. A man named Saul sees you coming in and laying hands on him. He's at Judas's house. That is specific. That is special. That is individual. but it must be acted upon. I got a specific word sitting in that back row. This is the house you're supposed to be in. When I was serving in the parking lot, this was the house. But you know, God, I didn't stand here 11 years ago from the parking lot to right here. I didn't get here because it was random. You know what? We need to get that parking lot guy. He looks like, you know what? I see a grace on him. It's a grace. I see it. It's a parking lot guy. No, it was times in devotion where I journaled where I would be. I journaled about being in this city. I journaled about my prophetic call. I journaled about working with Pastor Rice. I journaled about campus. I journaled about standing in this church. I journaled about my wife. I journaled about almost everything that God eventually showed me that it was done, because you have to secure the word in the spirit and plant it so that your life doesn't get off course. You secure the course. I'm showing you the markers to prevent. I'm sorry I'm yelling, but just let me get out like this. I don't want the devil to keep stealing from you. The word comes out. You got to grab the word violently and put it down in your heart and get the steps to keep it safe. Amen. Then you wait on it like David did. Wait on the word. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait on it. David got the word that he would be king as a young man. He didn't go down there and kill Goliath and say, that's all right, Saul. You know, Samuel was at my house with my people. God already told me it was my spot. I already killed Goliath. You know, they already singing about me. What's up, Saul? Saul, you want to give it up now? Or you want the Lord to take it off? What's up, Saul? I mean, really? No, you got to wait. You've got to wait on the Lord. You've got to wait on the Lord to move on your behalf. You've got to wait on the Lord's timing. You've got to wait on the Lord's instruction on how. Well, the Lord, he wouldn't want me to be here suffering. The Lord didn't call me to suffer. In my marriage, he didn't call me to suffer. You don't understand all my suffering. Well, David was getting spears thrown at him, wandering in the wilderness, in a land that wasn't his own, as he was driven from the very place that God had anointed him to one day lead. Stop acting like God is confused about what you're going through, and just start going through with good character. Well, you need to clap. Stop thinking you can get a knife. Stop giving me phone calls. Pastor Dan, can I cut them? No, you can't cut people. Just if you're in a violent situation, is it all right for somebody to beat you? No. You go get a hotel until we can move them out. But we're going to figure out how to get them help, and we're going to fix it. Okay? No, nobody. Don't beat on nobody. And Lord, help me. Just don't let me catch it. I'm still getting delivered from some things. I'll just tell you the truth. You got to tell the truth. You got to know your sins. That's mine. I'm not anointed to find out quick in the heat of the moment. I'm not anointed. I do have a snatch-up anointing. I'm just telling you now. God bless. Might as well tell the truth in church. Watch. You got to wait on the Lord, but that's okay. You'll renew your strength. But now you watch for the enemy. Put that last verse up there, the fourth verse. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. He says, behold, his soul is puffed up, your enemy's soul. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The enemy now begins to puff up an image other than the one that God has given you in his word. He begins to obscure what God has said. From the moment that it is said, he deploys a scheme to cover up what God has said so that you'll get discouraged. God told us to build a long time ago. And the people down at the commission say, you ain't building nothing. That's what we said. And you can just get discouraged and just back off that word. But the word never changed. And the people of our church still begin to grow because God said it's harvest time. And the news to the devil is that when you watch over the word, when you begin to receive the word and write the word and make an action step and wait on the Lord, that you can have a day on March 2nd where you at 3 o'clock be putting a shovel in the ground, breaking ground, because God said, stretch out to the left and the right, lengthen your stakes, strengthen your cords, don't hold back, and don't be afraid, because it's a word from God to do it. Yes. And you push the enemy back. Where has the devil showed up in your individual life and stolen the word from you about your destiny and your destination? That day is over, because the word in the heavenlies hasn't changed from before you got to this planet to when you was in the womb to what he wrote for you down in the journal to what's going forth right now in the heavens. And if you'll get still and steady yourself and get a word and begin to write it down with action steps, and you'll begin to wait on the Lord and push back in war against the devil, I guarantee you that just like we're breaking ground today, you'll be breaking ground in your life, and you'll see a resurrection of what seems dead. It'll start coming to life, because you are called to prosper. You are called to be prosperous. You are called to have favor, called to be a doctor, called to be a lawyer. You can speak. You are entrepreneur. You are who God says you are. You're a man of God, a woman of God. You're a great husband. You're a great wife. You can be a great parent. You can. You are redeemed. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not what the devil says you are. You're who God says you are. So whatever's been getting you down, you might as well rise up and be who God says you are. You're right to be with him. Huh, hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, go on, give him some praise. Because his word has not changed. He changes not. What is the outpouring? The outpouring is a recognition that God is still speaking. And he's never stopped. And that all you have to do is slow down. Get still. God gave you a daily secret weapon. That's your eyelids. Close them. And in that moment, you can focus. Close them, wherever you're at. In that moment, a blank canvas appears where you can begin to see God speak. Destiny, reality. This is a call to greater discipleship. Jesus is calling you out of darkness into his light. Some of your darkness is the fact that you and him are estranged and he's not Lord of your life and you're not saved or you're backslidden. Some of your darkness is you're just estranged from your calling. You're not in the right place. You picking the moments. You're picking the destinations. Fear has got you gripped. I can hear the Lord saying, that's over. He said, the day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. He is calling you. The first call to discipleship, if you're here and you're not born again or you're away from God, just in a moment, just I'm ever so quickly, when I count to three, I want you to shoot your hand up and don't wait. One, two, three. If that's you, thank you, thank you, thank you for these hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can put them down. Ministry team, come on down. Lord, I pray for everybody in the room that you would bless us to be changed forever, that we wouldn't think the same anymore, and that you would speak a word in our life. In Jesus' name. Now, if you raise your hand as we close in this moment, I want you to be brave. We're going to take 30 seconds. We're going to clap and praise God, and you're going to come down and stand with me and those in the upper venue. You're going to come stand with us. Right now, go ahead and praise God. If you raise your hand, come on down, stand with us. Come on, come on. Let us stand with you. Let us stand with you, if that's you. Come on down. Let us stand with you today. Wherever you're at, let us stand with you. Let us stand with you. Let us stand with you. Oh, bless God. Don't hesitate. Let us stand with you. Lord, I pray as we dismiss from this place that those that raise their hands or they're coming down after service or those that are just needing prayer of any kind or called to discipleship will come down right after service, God, to be touched by you. We thank you for the word that's gone forth today. We will not be the same. Bless each person according to their cheerfulness and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. I love you so much. I see you back at 3:00 for the groundbreaking. If you can come, God bless you. We love you. You are the best.